Critical Hope. How to grapple with complexity, lead with purpose, and cultivate transformative social change. By Kari Grain. Narrated by Kari Grain. Published by North Atlantic Books. Acknowledgements. Writing a book, like any worthwhile creative project, is an endeavor in self-doubt, passion, and vulnerability, the amalgam of which was only fruitful because of the humans, animals, and natural landscapes that supported me through this process. Most of my writing happened in a specific place, on land that has a rich history and a lifeblood all its own. It is a landscape that I feel deep reverence for, and it means a great deal to me to live and write at the edge of the Pacific Ocean, among West Coast rainforest and wildlife. This land is the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh peoples. I extend my gratitude to them and other local First Nations for their stewardship of this place. In the face of historical injustices and trauma brought on by colonization, they are still here, still resisting contemporary vestiges of colonialism, still fighting for their right to exist, and flourishing in spite of it all. Thank you, of course, to my parents, John and Kirsty Grain. Through their own actions and lived ethics, they have taught me about the value of kindness, humor, generosity, public education, and hospitality. My dad, a loving man and former teachers' union president, instilled in me two values that I hold particularly dear. First is his conviction that justice is worth fighting for. And second, but no less important, is his belief that in nature, we can gain peace and restoration, whether by rowing on a quiet lake or walking among the pine trees. These two values have imbued my ambitions with purpose, and they've gifted me with the clear heart that I need to fight the good fight. Speaking of nature, my mom is an exuberant force of it. All her life, she has underestimated her own brilliance, value, and impact on the world. In her 3 decades of nursing in the same elderly care home, she enlivened countless quiet rooms and generously doled out hugs to the oldest members of our society, who often had nobody left to embrace. If I am passionate about hope, it is because my mom has exemplified the best of humanity, lovingly holding the hand of so many elders as they departed this world for the next. Thank you to my indomitable brother and best friend, John Eric. He is proof of the happiness that is possible when you move through the fear and tread through the mud and the muck toward a brighter vision of the future. Thank you for always being there for me. And to his partner, Elaine, thank you for asking hard questions and for embodying a depth and playfulness that make our lives lighter. You have gifted our family and community with a bundle of stardust named Jules, and he already emanates your spark of spirit. To the rest of my immediate and extended family, thank you for teaching me so much about love, forgiveness, resilience, laughter, and celebration. Through all of our struggles and joy, we will always be family, and for this I am so grateful. I am grateful also to my wise and loyal friend Annie, who was my closest thought partner in the conceptualization of this book. Annie helped me work through intellectual and emotional blocks, offering ideas and feedback in parks and on rooftops as I read aloud to her. I am so lucky to have a friend in you. To Stephanie Fay, my friend and confidant who agreed to co-author the chapter on neurobiology, thank you for embodying a beautiful convergence of scientific knowledge and radical vulnerability. I cherish you. Thank you to the soul sisters in my life. You know who you are. Thank you for healing, loving, forgiving, birthing, and standing your ground. Thank you for calling bullshit, for showing up, and for fiercely forging paths where others have not. Long before my first love, and alongside every great adventure, achievement, and struggle, I have had soul sisters beside me, sprinkling our path with solidarity. An enormous thank you to Rylan, my daily grounding influence and my greatest sense of security and safety through the isolated days of the pandemic and beyond. As a man of projects himself, he ensured that I had whatever I needed to successfully start and finish this passion project. Anyone who has a dog will understand the soulful therapy of a furry friend. Though he'll never read this, I owe thanks to my golden retriever, Benny, who got me through this journey with plenty of breaks for rainy walks, expensive vet visits, and couch snuggles. He is an angel and I love him. Thank you to the people who I have loved and who have loved me. You have taught me about my strengths, my flaws, and most of all, you have taught me much about the reverence, pleasure, and pain that infuse this book with meaning. I also owe a debt of gratitude to my editor, Shayna. Thank you for believing in me and giving me the opportunity to write what I thought I could never write in an academic setting. Thank you also for your ongoing, insightful feedback and your attunement to the issues in this book. To the entire wonderful team at North Atlantic Books, thank you for persisting past my initial reluctance and gifting me with the freedom to write what I've always wanted to write. To Hartej, Andre, Shauna, Am, Tam, Christina, Jillian, Kelly, Heather, and Ido, thank you for being ethical leaders in my life who have pushed me to more critical and joyful spaces of thought. To all of my work colleagues who have helped me sift through ideas and thoughts, thank you for your brilliance and intellectual generosity. To the trusted early readers of my book, Emily, Pinkas, Sam, Doug, Am, Candice, Carla, Tristan, and others, thank you for taking the time and offering your feedback. I am a better person and writer for having you in my life. To Dr. Barbara Main, the calm and confident doctor who generously left her family trip in Uganda to accompany me on an emergency flight back to Canada, a story you'll read about in these pages. Thank you is overdue because no form of gratitude ever seemed like enough. I appreciate your gesture more than you could ever know. The nascent seeds of this book were planted many years ago, when I would spend early morning hours writing in the back garden of a hostel in Costa Rica. Casa Zen, in a tiny Pacific Coast town, is a place of refuge and it drew together a technicolor constellation of people whose wisdom and warmth gave me exactly what I needed to heal my wounds and remember what it means to live with vibrancy. It was on those mornings over fresh pineapple, dry toast, and bitter coffee that I first began discussing this notion of critical hope with other salty souls. Because of communities like that one, I was able to nurture the vibrancy that has been so central to my understanding of critical hope. They listened without judgment as I talked about my early ideas on critical hope and the rampant injustices plaguing different communities around the world. Somehow, the idyllic nature of where we were helped me sort through some of my own personal trauma while forging an understanding of hope that attended to injustice yet uplifted sensory and spiritual pleasures as sites of transformation. This is all to say that budding ideas from their earliest phases need a community of people who will acknowledge them and believe in them. Creative and accepting communities of people breathe life and light into tiny ideas so that they grow, sometimes for years or decades, into something fruitful. I have encountered several communities like this one over the years, and it is to them that I owe a debt of gratitude for the survival of my belief in vibrancy. Finally, this book would not be a glimmer of what it is without the people whose stories enrich its pages. Thank you for trusting me with your
Sample complete. Ready to continue?